going to lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. As I was out walking the dogs today, rain jackets on, weather gear, I'm thinking, what a great time to light up baseball's hot stove. And with that, bring back a returning champ, part of the Wake and Rake podcast on the Believe Network. On Twitter, the handle is at Danny Vietti. For the pod, it's at Wake and Rake. We welcome Danny back. Danny V, happy 2024. How's life treating you there in Northern Cali?
Kind of the same as up in Oregon, to be honest. Very, very rainy. But, you know, a month and a half until spring training, pitchers can catchers report. So I think we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
I love it. Let's start. You offered an explanation about spacious Dodger Stadium, how L.A. outdraws everybody in MLB, actually by far. And it means, sure, they just spent the gross national product of some small nations. But I actually, Danny, believe the money wasn't an issue. So explain, I guess, your economics philosophy on how financially the Dodgers kind of have this.
I'll simplify it as best as I can here. Basically, if you look at last season's average attendance across Major League Baseball, the Los Angeles Dodgers average about 6,000 to 7,000 more than the second largest team, the second largest team being the New York Yankees. The Dodger Stadium itself is what truly another reason why the Dodgers have such a financial advantage compared to the rest of the league, because they can fit 7,000 more fans per game each and every time they have a home game. So 81 home games in a year, they're putting 7,000 more bodies in the seat. And an average ticket price at Dodger Stadium last year, according to the Los Angeles Times, was $170. So if you do some multiplication here, and I'll do it for you, if you do 170 times 81 home games, plus or times the 7,000 more fans that they get compared to the second biggest team, the Yankees, that's already the money they need for the salaries for Otani, Yamamoto, Mookie Betts, and Freddie Freeman. So there's a lot going on there. It obviously gets more convoluted. Is the average ticket price of Section 424 seat 40, $170? Probably not. But if you just look at it from the outside in and you say, okay, they're getting 7,000 more fans per game and they're getting around $100 a ticket, you could make the argument just per game, those extra seats that they get, that is enough to afford the salaries next season for Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Yamamoto, and Otani. They're four best players. So Dodger Stadium alone gives them an incredible advantage.
It's a great angle. Something else you posted that I kind of echoed. Signing Otani, it's great. I love the dude. He, you know, he's historic. But strictly as another bat, all he really did was add to a lethal offense. Fair to say, prior to recently, the trade for Glasnow, the signing of Oshinobu Yamamoto to aid a shaky rotation, that pushed them way closer to their goal of winning it all.
It does, kind of. That's the beauty of baseball. You know, you add these monster players, monster contracts, you create these super teams, so-called, and they could very easily get bounced in the playoffs in the first round to somebody from the NL Central or somebody, some wild card team, ran like some Miami Marlins type team. I think that's what makes baseball so great, though, is because you can't predict these things. I've always compared the Major League Baseball playoff to the closest thing to March Madness. You can take all the stats into account. You can look at all the players and the rosters and the payrolls. And we look up at the end of the season and we start questioning, how the hell did the Arizona Diamondbacks make the World Series?
Right.
And that's why I think makes this sport so great is how unpredictable it is. So if you look at the sports line numbers, so sports line basically does projections for the season. The projection for their wins, the Dodgers, that is, for this next season before they got Otani, was 96% playoff percentage. After they got Otani, it's 98%. So, like, you sign arguably the greatest player of this generation, Shohei Otani, and he gives you a 2% playoff bump. It's just the way baseball works. You know, I think it's unpredictable, and I think that's what makes it so special.
No, I went back, and I went through everybody who works for CBS, ESPN, Fox, MLB Network, and you know, you're talking hundreds of writers. Nobody even mentioned Arizona as a contender prior to last year. And I'm like, that's where what you just said makes it such a beautiful thing. Talking with Danny Vietti, Wake and Rake podcast, part of the Great Believe Network. So the only team who scored more runs than L.A. was the Braves, but they went for an arm. I mean, they had that 1-2 punch, Spencer Strider, Max Fried. You know, they've got Charlie Morton who'll be throwing until he's like 50. But the trade for Chris Sale, Danny, who's been injured for, I think, 5 straight seasons, about to turn 35. He did finish last year. What about Atlanta rolling the dice on somebody we could call a once elite lefty?
At this point in his career and what they gave up being Atlanta, they gave up Vaughn Grissom. And Vaughn Grissom is a promising young talent. Might lack power, but has some pretty elite bat-to-ball skills, high contact. Atlanta right now, they're going for it all. So they're not trying to develop any players. They're at a point now where they're trying to compete for a championship right now. And at this point in their careers, Chris Sale, Vaughn Grissom, Chris Sale is going to make more of an impact here in 2024 than Vaughn Grissom likely would have. And Chris Sale, he's going into this offseason and now going to be soon coming out of an offseason where it was probably his most normal offseason that he's had in, like you just said, probably 4 or 5 years. He's had a combination of arm injuries, a little bit of misfortune. He had a bike accident that hurt his pitching hand. You put those two things together because it's normal to have playing injuries. You play long enough, you're going to have an arm injury. But you put that together with there was a line drive back up the box in New York. It ended up hitting his pitching hand. That was unfortunate. And you put that along with the bike accident that I just alluded to. It's a combination of misfortune and just playing for long enough. The Atlanta Braves are hoping that the misfortune and the pitching injuries are hopefully behind him in the rearview mirror now. And now you're looking at a starting rotation that I think it's a coin flip. If you look at the Dodgers and the Braves of which rotation you would rather have, that's after the Dodgers signings. I mean, you're looking at Strider, Fried, Morton. They signed Ronaldo Lopez to be a starting pitcher, and now they have Chris Sale. I leave it up to everybody else's interpretation of who you'd rather have, but I think those two starting rotations right then and there are the two best starting rotations in baseball.
Legit. Let's stay in your home state of Cali, head south. We know how big a disappointment the Padres were, but they never really rolled over. They played 500 ball. Soto to the Yankees, their ace Blake Snell unsigned. Michael Waka 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 left for the Royals. They even lost their manager. Safe to say this has not been a really encouraging offseason in San Diego.
It's not encouraging. It was kind of expected. You know, talk about misfortune and an unfortunate time in losing their beloved owner in Peter Seidler. This is a guy that,
right.
took over the team in 2020 and completely resurrected that franchise with his willingness to spend money on a roster and invest in a team. And when he unfortunately passed away 2 months ago, everything kind of got thrown up into the air because they already had questions of, will Bob Melvin return? Because he and A.J. Preller, the GM, they didn't always see eye to eye with things. With this roster and free agents, there was just a lot of question marks going into this offseason. And there was a question of whether they could sustain the number two payroll in baseball being in the location that they're at in San Diego. And now we're seeing this offseason. They've added a couple guys from the Korean leagues, but no big signings, obviously. And they're probably going to have to let go of the reigning National League Cy Young and Blake Snell. I don't think they can afford him at this juncture. So I think San Diego's in a spot where they're looking for more complementary players, which maybe that's not such a bad thing, because this last season they went the superstar route with Soto and like I just mentioned, in Snell, and they already have Tatis and Machado and all these guys. Maybe they do need more complementary assets than they do superstars, and maybe they can kind of flip the script here in 2024.
Couple final thoughts. Danny Vietti, Wake and Rake podcast on the Believe Network. I got to get to the Yankees. I mentioned they were a 500 team, landed Soto. They really didn't give up any prime prospects. Trent Grisham, you know, a great glove, can't hit his weight. Alex Verdugo, a legit corner outfielder. So it looks like they're a little better, but man, that rotation after Cole, and I think the bullpen is limited. As we speak now, what are you thinking about the Pinstripers entering 2024?
They're a total coin flip, and I think it really comes down to the X factor that's going to be Carlos Rodon. Because I think if Rodon is the San Francisco Giant and Chicago White Sox Carlos Rodon that the Yankees thought they were getting when they signed him a year ago, that's a massive 1-2 punch in your starting rotation. However, if Rodon is not available, or maybe available but not the same Rodon that they thought they were getting when they signed him, all of a sudden you're dipping deeper and deeper into a starting rotation, and all of a sudden you're using more of that bullpen that's still got a question mark hanging over their heads as well. So I think Rodon's going to be the ultimate question mark. Obviously, the addition of Juan Soto to that lineup is going to pay massive dividends. But I don't think it was ever a question necessarily of, is this team going to be able to score enough runs? I think it's, is this team going to be able to pitch deep enough in the ball games to give their bullpen an opportunity to close things out? And that's why I think Carlos Rodon, regardless of what happens further here in free agency, I think Carlos Rodon is the ultimate X factor for this ball club.
So I got to tell my dad, focus on Carlos Rodon. He's 88 years old. He lives in North Jersey, and these are the main things he worries about, Danny. So I'm gonna put that on him from you. Lastly, the Mariners, you know, finally broke the playoff drought. Then entering last year, hopes were high, but not a disaster. They won 88 games. Marco Gonzalez got injured at the top of the rotation. They ended up trading their closer, Paul Sewald. They lost Eugenio Suarez with some pop. Otherwise, you know, not a lot of action. Is there concern at their lack of moves as camp kind of closes in?
Not a concern of volume. It's a concern of whether they want to be true spenders and true contenders. And I say that while also knowing that you don't necessarily need to have a top five payroll in Major League Baseball to compete for a title. But you look at their payroll in Seattle and their owner and how many fans they get per game, and you just wonder why they're not in on these bigger free agents. You have young superstars and Julio Rodriguez and a starting rotation with Luis Castillo and George Kirby. They have superstars ready to roll, ready to compete for a title. And they've kind of gone a different route. They added Mitch Garver, who's a World Series champion, is a really nice bat. They added Luis Urias so far. They seem to be in on the mid-tier players, but not at all involved or seriously interested in the tier one players. And that's really the question mark when it comes to Seattle is, are you Los Angeles Dodgers, San Francisco Giants, New York Yankees team, or are you more so middle of the road, not a small market team, but not a big market team? I think Seattle needs to decide whether to put the pedal to the metal now or just kind of be middle of the road franchise.
Folks, he's Danny Vietti, generous with his time, talking baseball. Catch the Wake and Rake podcast with former MLB-er Will Middlebrooks. Link it from the Twitter handle at Danny Vietti or at Wake and Rake. Hey, Danny, always fun, always sensational information. Appreciate you coming on. And, of course, as spring training closes in, I'll look forward to talking again. But again, thanks a million.
Always, Steve. Let's have a great 2024, huh?
You got it, buddy. Take care. Bye.
All right.
There you go.